CliffCentral.com.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for the volume. Thank you for joining us for an amazing episode of 360 Biz, 360 Business on Cliff Central this afternoon. We're excited to be bringing you guys an amazing show today. We will be featuring young entrepreneurs who are doing amazing things in different spaces. I'm not rolling alone. I'm with Teboho Mafodi. Just greet our listeners, sir.
Hi, Belen. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
No, good, thanks, man. It's good. It's good to have you. I see you're wearing a different cap today.
Yeah, man. You know me. Yeah. I think the shocker today was when I went to a client's office to have a meeting, and then this lady in the reception is like, today I wear para kepis. Wait a long. Then you kind of realize that I'm always wearing a cap.
And come to think of it, a cap has kind of become almost like your brand.
The cap.
Yeah, it has kind of become more like your brand, so that people recognize you with it. And excellent. If you're not wearing a cap, then it's almost a problem.
Sure, actually. Because, imagine if I have to go into places, and when I get there, I can't even get in because people won't recognize without the cap. I think that's the only disadvantage. Yeah. Because what's supposed to be my disguise is not my disguise. So when I'm disguised is when I take it off, which is very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bulelani, I just came in from EOH. EOH, they're running this youth placement program. I think I want us to have them on the show. This youth placement program, they take up young people and they actually place them within companies. For SMEs and for different companies and corporates as a whole. So it's something that for me, you realize that companies were admittedly admitting to some of the fact that they're actually doing this for BE purposes, just to tick on the box of compliance in terms of taking up internship, in terms of taking up graduates and the likes. So for me, it raises a question to say, how many companies out there are actually doing what the legislature, the government has put in place with the intention of making a difference within communities, but they actually take it up just to tick boxes in order to get tenders, in order to get a project or any other opportunity from government. Have you had any experience?
First-hand experience. I think now quite recently with the new laws that have been put out, the government is really coming down very harsh on companies or large corporates that are not complying to BEE laws, And it's very, and if you as a company, you had no intentions of taking in any new interns or supporting black business or whatever the case is, you would end up doing this just to tick a box, at the end of the day. And I really feel like, we need to not look at this as just a box that needs to be ticked, but look at this more than anything as South Africa being transformed and developed into the country that not just I want or Jabu wants or Vusi wants, but the country that we all want for ourselves more than anything. Because look at, for instance, the function that you were at today, we cannot have companies just outsourcing services from so-called BEE companies that are really not even doing anything for the community more than anything and are not passionate about that. And we've known over the years, and we've known even in business, that if you do anything that you're not passionate about, whatever the purpose or whatever was fueling what it was all about kind of falls by the wayside. So imagine if in the next 5 years BEE falls by the wayside. That means that all these projects are going to fall like hot eggs.
Yeah, but now, come to think of it, to some people, it's that BEE has been failing, and BEE being failing and there is not, enough compliance. And for me, what I've learned, what I've realized, but I think it's something that I think I want us to have the day we're going to be having the commission. listener. You know, I want to make a commitment now to our listeners and to whoever out there that we're going to go out of our way to make sure that we get the commissioner to come in studio for us to actually discuss these opportunities and more than anything, these compliance issues that the country has put out there. Because, Budelani, you come to think of it, I've realized that with us, we don't study legislature to actually understand BEE codes that are actually out there. So we don't even go out of our way to actually get to understand them. Where else you find other companies out there, they one that are going out of their way to actually understand them and look at for loopholes, Budelani, to actually in a position to definitely take advantage of them. But I know that definitely that's not our discussion. It's just something that bothered me as I was driving to studio today, to come to think of it, to say there's a lot of companies out there, and I think they must be warned. You must be warned that government is coming after you, and if ever there's an opportunity for us to expose, we're going to expose you, because at the end of the day, these legislators are there to improve us as a country, to grow small business, and to create opportunities with people that are from a disadvantaged background, or even some of the businesses that don't have necessarily an opportunity to actually be out there. That's why I know definitely I'm looking forward today that I'm going to be having one of our guests, a lady by the name of Vuyiswa Mutekwani, who's the Sabib CEO. I know that them as the South African black black property practitioners, if I'm not mistaken. They're actually dealing with companies that are, but they are more focused on the property aspect of things in regards to that. I know as well we're going to be having Ms. Gheting Gwenya, who's the director of School of Media, and Lorraine Marira. They're also, from Laurette La Beauty Training Academy. So I'm more than excited to be having these guests on the show. The traffic I know was bad coming here, so some of the guys, they were actually running late, but most fortunately we've got one that has actually managed to come in time. Ma'am, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Hi to all our listeners. My name is Lorraine Marira, and I'm the CEO and the founder for Laureate Lee Beauty Training. What we do, basically, we empower ladies from young age till the age of 45 as at present. Mm. We have actually empowered them in the beauty industry, whereby we groom them to know how to do nails, makeup, eyelashes, and all that, and also to make them to be entrepreneurs at the end of the day. So that's basically what we do at Laureate Lee Beauty Training.
Oh, okay. Lauren, you can adjust your mic just for you to be more comfortable. Yeah. So, Lauren, tell me, you came in a discussion that I was having with Bulelani around opportunities that government has placed out there for small business. I know part of the show today is to mainly to profile you guys. But would you say, as, Beauty Academy, have you guys taken advantage of some of the opportunities that government has placed for you guys out there?
Yes, we had actually gotten involved, but not fully as we expect, because initially now we really want to partner more with government institutions, whereby we offer our services to individuals so that they can actually benefit as, proudly South African. You need to benefit more in your land. So that is what we are actually looking at. We have touched lives. Majority, yes, but as we look forward to touch lives in a bigger dimension, of which we are looking forward to work with such organizations. Thank you.
Yeah. So then you are specifically in the beauty industry. Tell us, how did you start and why beauty?
Okay. It was a long journey anyway until I landed on beauty, because initially I started in the medical industry where you do the nursing stuff, and from there was no that fulfillment, because in everything that you do, you have to discover yourself. It's not necessarily to do it because maybe a colleague or a friend or your parents want you to do something. So I was not fulfilled. I changed. Then I started doing short courses in business and trying to enter into the working class, actually. But at the end of the day, I found out that I was not getting the fulfillment that I was looking at. So when I study at Santin, there's a college there where I did business administration and management. Then I later discovered, say, no, I don't want to work actually for anybody, but I want to implement what I've learned in school in my own personal business.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to discover what I'm passionate about. Then I later saw that I'm actually into beauty, looking good and all that. Then I went again for the course by Nell City in Bedford to actually groom myself and have the knowledge on beauty. So that's how I landed now to be in the beauty industry. And the journey started actually when I started training 2011 on the 6th of December till date. There are no regrets about it.
Well, and you know, Bulelani, come to think of it, we actually, most of us start from different industries. I mean, she started in the medical industry and now got into beauty. I know Vuyiswa as well, when she gets here, she started in the fashion industry and now she's into property. Bulelani, where did you start?
Wow. I don't have any corporate background or experience or work experience when starting, but I think, I mean, to for me to get to where I am as part of my growth cycle in the company, I mean, I think I come from an internet cafe.
So you've never worked for a boss. You're the only boss you know.
Yeah, I've never worked anywhere.
Yeah, I know, bro. I mean, some of us do. I mean, we come from. I know I've been in the medical industry. Emergency.
Doing
medical.
What?
Me. I'm a paramedic, dude.
I didn't know that.
I was a paramedic. I mean, for an air ambulance. I never even knew there's an aeromedical flight paramedic that is involved. But I mean, it's something that one obviously got into and definitely grew from. And you know, I actually went into training. I've actually done a couple of industries before I actually get into business. But I mean, it's something that definitely I know that one had to start somewhere for it to be somewhere. So you started from an internet cafe to actually running your own business.
That is something that I didn't know. I think I'm still enamored by what I just heard now, but it's all right.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I didn't just start and wanted to be a businessman. You know, that, you know, to actually start a business out of the blue. I had to get a job first and work. So I know how it is to have a boss and I know how it is to be a bad employee. I think generally, I was mainly a bad employee. I've had another guest that have just join in. My brother, where did you start before you do what you're doing now?
Where did I start before I do what I'm doing? I sold firecrackers. I sold sunglasses in school. So that was when I was in primary school. I sold silkworms. So throughout my life, I've been selling.
So you've been selling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've always enjoyed providing a service or providing a product for people. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So tell us who you are and what is that you do?
My name is Khethi Ngwenya. I'm the school media managing director. School media is a marketing, youth marketing company. We've got access to advertise in schools across the country. That's 9,000 schools through our partnership with the National Association of School Governing Bodies. So all the schools that are affiliated to them, we've got access to all those schools.
Okay, but I mean, Khethi, I was doing some read up about you. Khethi, couldn't you just be an employee, my man, and get a job? You know, what inspired you to be an entrepreneur? Why did you want to be an entrepreneur? And more than anything, an entrepreneur that influences other people, you know, because I understand you guys teach media, right, into schools.
We don't teach. We actually have access to use the walls of the school.
Okay.
To do wall murals, to put up 6 meter by 2 meter boards, and then we sell that space to corporates that want to communicate to the youth. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But academy and selling of advertising space, you know, bring us up to speed, I mean.
Well, I was part of Young Entrepreneurs of Soweto. That's where I learned formally about business, and then we also did campaigns such as Business Against Crime, So learning from that, getting that exposure in high school, Not that I wasn't going to Sweet 16s or anything like that, but getting that information in high school and learning at an early age, that thought, if other young people can get that information at an early age, then they'll be able to have an understanding where they want to go in their career, and something doesn't seem too far-fetched when they have the right information.
Mm. So now you're actually encouraging that people must get empowerment from school first before they actually go out there?
Yes, no, 100%. I think that's where skills start. That's where I learned how to sell.
Mm.
By the time I left school, I already knew how to sell anything, peanuts, cold drinks. I just enjoyed selling. And also I did try various jobs.
Mm.
I only did one job. It was a filing job.
Mm.
And I did that during high schools, and that was one consistent thing every day, just filing and filing. So just about two holidays of that, and I thought to myself, I'll never work again, because it's so much routine. You know what's going to happen. You get there in the morning.
And there's so much adventure being a businessman, eh?
Pardon?
There's so much adventure being a businessman.
Yeah, there's so much adventure. You come across different things every day.
No, definitely. Beauty, you're running an academy, a training academy as well. Have you thought about training kids within schools and starting beauty there? Because I know as well, some of the things that shaped my future was the empowerment that I got in school, or the exposure that I got in school. Have you thought about exposing young kids to the beauty industry?
Actually, it was something that we were putting in place for this 2017, was before we only knew we get our students from our own way of marketing. But as a new strategy on reaching out to different individuals, who were like, this year, 2017, we want to get into schools where students are starting to do their matrics, and or from grade 11 actually to grade 12.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to do that, and it's something that is in the pipeline for 2017.
Hmm. So now we're hoping that 2017, it's already end of first quarter. We're already on March. When is it starting, Pete?
We wanted to start around April, May.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because with the team that I was working with, we were looking on the strategy of the approach, mm-hmm. actually, on how do we approach on the schools that we actually know around the area where we are,
mm-hmm.
or how do we exactly get to approach them? That was the question that was still not answered.
Mm. I mean, speaking about approach, can you tell us about some of the courses that you run in your academy before we actually get to Kheti?
Okay, the courses that we run from full nail technology course, whereby a student learns more on how to do a pedicure, how to do a manicure on a client, and also train on makeup. So that every event now, looking at people, they have to make themselves look beautiful. So we do makeup, we do waxing, we also do massages, to Swedish massage, hot stone. Then we also do other courses like business on how to do startups, especially for those that have already achieved a course. And our courses, they run from 3 months to 1 year. And when it gets to a year, then it will be at a diploma level.
Oh, is it? So are you accredited?
Yes, we are.
Wow. Shout out to you. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. No, Kheti, are you accredited? Are you doing training as well, right?
No, we don't do training. No training.
But your company says Schools of Media.
School Media, yes.
School Media?
We do training, but it's mainly facilitation. It's not school. It's School Media, as in media in schools.
Okay.
So we are conduit. So we provide access to corporates and government to that space. So some of the initiatives we've done that were training involved was working with the EPWP. I don't know if you know, it's an extended public works program.
I know that very well.
That's we basically put them into cooperatives because their stipends were ending. And so we did the whole putting them, registering them a cooperative. Then incubating them as a small business,
mm.
and then also just giving them a training in that sector that they're in. So it was cleaning services and landscaping services. That's the angle of training that we've done. But our main business is advertising space in schools. So example, like here, she's got the a college,
mm-hmm.
and she's trying to get to schools, that's exactly what we do. We'd put her in touch with the schools.
Is it? So now, I mean, I was reading somewhere that you were a CEO by the age of 17, a CEO of YES. I mean, tell us more about it, and what value did that bring for you to being an entrepreneur in your entrepreneurial journey?
I touched on Young Entrepreneurs of Soweto a bit earlier, just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what Young Entrepreneurs of Soweto was, it was where I learned about how to start a business. Like I mentioned earlier, what is market research? What do you do when you do market research? So that was, we were mentored by the Soweto Business Executive Chamber.
Okay.
And they mentored us and guided us through. So there was a formal structure, a formal youth structure. And when I was in 2011, then I was elected the CEO there. I was started there when I was 15.
Mm.
So it's the youth that are involved that that elect you in that space.
Yeah. How old are you now?
Now I'm 25.
It's quite interesting. But I mean, looking at the advertising space, and there's quite a bit of regulation with regards to what you can advertise to young kids or not.
Yes.
What are some of the regulations or rather restrictions? Can I put up an alcohol billboard there?
No, 100% not. So we've got an agreement with the National Association of School Governing Bodies. And in any campaign, like she's got a beauty school, we'd have to present that to them. And then it could be rolled out to schools.
Yeah. And what sort of schools fall part of the part of that organization?
It's mainly your township schools. That's where the association has more influence. It's mainly your township schools across the country. So in Guguletu, we've got schools there. In Mdantsane, we've got access to schools. Areas like Umlazi and so on, and Soweto, of course, and your Mamelodi areas.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges running such an institution?
Well, I guess we're a small business and we're growing. Expanding and expanding the business is more of the challenge, having the right staff, knowing when to grow, and also having people that are able to be persistent that work with you. So it's mainly a team thing.
Yeah.
For us, that's been mainly where it's at, and also just working. I mean, when I started the business, I was at the age of 19. I just left school. And engaging with principals, because it was mainly older people. How I started the business, I used to go school to school, signing up the schools, to do what we do today. And, so that barrier of someone being older than you and calling them by their name, or how do you call them? How do you address them? So that was one of the big challenges. And also people, when they see that you're young, it becomes a challenge. Like when some of the people ask me, is this your business? When the principals ask me, is this your business? And I'd say, yes, it is. Then they're like, oh, okay, now I can see you've made a mistake here. You must go back and correct this. And so they would give me feedback, but then I stopped saying it's my business. I said, no, I'm an employee of the business.
Mm.
And then things started changing. I started signing up agreements because they believed I was employed by the business and they had more trust. And whenever they used to ask me something, I'd say, no, I'd have to go speak to
the boss. Yeah, that's the strategy I used.
Yeah. But why, though, is it that people don't take you serious when you are an employee, but people take you serious when you are employed?
Yeah.
You know, when you're an employer, they don't take you serious. But when you're an employee, they take you serious. Bulelani, you said you use the same strategy. Bring us up to speed.
Nah, man. I think what it is, from his perspective, I think it was a case of, you know, you're young, and I think to a certain degree, I mean, if you come in, I don't know, maybe as an employee, they think that you got to put bread on the table, so you've got much more leverage in terms of from an emotional sale to even pull a whole, you know, I'm getting paid from this, please help me, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, mostly, I mean, if you're young, because I mean, you must understand the dynamics, you know. Some of the people who are working, or rather in certain positions, looking down at you and you seeming a little bit successful, or not even successful, successful, but you're successful in having taken a step. So obviously I'm a bit envious, and I'm thinking to myself, no man, this kid can't be coming here with this business nonsense. I've been telling myself I'm going to do this, so let me just put his dreams to the side a little bit. We'll talk to you later, my man, come on.
Yeah, so it's that.
I mean, it's a lot of misconceptions that you also have to feed off. Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you've come across, Laurette?
We have come across a lot of challenges, and we always believe challenges are always the ones that makes us to grow. Like most of the things, like the same way you mentioned, when you want to sign up a student, they want to know how many years have you been in the business, so that they get so convinced. But due to some testimonials of other students and that we keep within our college where we train people, it makes people to actually see that something is happening. But to actually convince a person, it has not been easy. And also the challenges also is on the marketing part. You try A does not go through, you try B. So, and to actually go on TV or something, it becomes more expensive looking as a small business also that has been growing, because now in the industry we have started since 2011. We have about 7 years this year. And people to actually buy what you're saying, even if you say these are the courses we do, they want to be more convinced. Oh, okay, so who have you trained? What have they done after the training and all that? So all those things are some of the challenges that we come across.
100%. But you know, Bulelani, in all this, what the one thing that I'm gathering is that small business is struggling with reputation.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's like you need to look big when you're small.
Yes.
And sometimes you need to be looking this and this for somebody to give you a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if ever there's somebody out there, I mean, that is already, I mean, doing something of that nature, or they have an experience, I mean, they can touch base with us. Our WhatsApp line is 0797482090, 0797482090, or you can follow us on social media as well. It's at cliffcentral.com. It's at Cliff Central on Facebook. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Debohoma40, at Debohoma40 on Instagram, and it's Debohoma40 on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page as well. It's 360 Capability or 360 Biz. You know, that's our hashtag. It's hashtag 360 Biz as well. And if you want to see us online, you can go to www.ridevectv.com to actually get to see some of the shows that we've done. Bulelani, social media?
At Bulelani Bala. At Bulelani Bala. Bulelani Bala Bala on other platforms. Yeah.
Kheti, what's your social media for me?
KTRSA.
KTRSA.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sissy?
We have it at Laureate Lee Beauty Training.
Yeah. No. Laureate Beauty Training.
Yes.
Is that Facebook?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, definitely, because it's something that we want to hear, I mean, as to what has been your story as a small business in regards to, you know what, keeping yourself out there or sometimes pretending to actually be big. I know there's a lot of businesses that actually have struggled with that. So right now, I mean, between the two of you, Kheti and Kheti, is it Kheti or is it Kheti?
Kheti.
Oh, okay. Because I just hear you saying Kheti.
Yeah, no, because people, when they look for my name, they'll look with a KG.
Mm.
So when I say my social media, I say it with the S Kheti, because it's spelled like that. So it's a pretty name. It's Kheti-wa.
Oh, okay. So between you, Kheti, and you, Lorraine, what is the importance of funding in your businesses? Because right now you guys are doing well. You know, you are credited in a most rare industry, and you are young and doing advertising in schools, using school walls and stuff. So I know sometimes starting a business, you need employees, you need this and this. It's all about money. Other people are needing equipment, they're needing all sorts of these things. I know I've never run a business out of credit. So but now, how do you guys overcome the financial challenges? And let's say you guys were well off, or you had families that signed a big check there for you to start that business.
Okay, as for me, let me just say I did not go to get funding maybe from the bank or for the people that are loaning. Actually, it was the help of my husband who was part of it. Though it was not just easy for him to buy into the idea, he had to be more convinced, where am I coming from and where am I going, because of changing of fields in terms of from being a nurse to, you know, when, and my nursing was like starting from zero, whereby you'll be a nurse aide, all that. So you find out that it was not something so easy for him to just buy the what the idea of the business was. But I didn't go and borrow anyway. It was my husband who actually had to invest into the business. And along the way, let me just say, for the first 2 years, the business was not actually doing well, because I was in Joburg where I was renting a place, and eventually I had to shut down because of the rentals were just accumulating. So from all these challenges, then I say to myself, instead of me to just being idle and just put my vision just inside the drain, I say to myself, no, we have a house that we had, and then I had to convert the house into a training place, of which I had to ask my husband, because I was not in a position to even ask for a loan. So with that, after doing the construction by the house where I was actually staying, all the backyard, I had to make sure that it gets so useful in my business. So since then, it has been just going smoothly, because there is no more rentals and you help here and there, but there's no landlord end of the day that is asking for the money. So some of those challenges, I had to overcome it, and it was through the help of my husband.
Sure. Yeah, that is amazing, because oftentimes, I know with me, when I got into business, I mean, I think my mom thought I was crazy. She even reminds me of it today, because, I mean, there was no entrepreneur in my whole family, and to find your you know, support from your husband, I find that to be very, very, very great.
That's why they're saying support in the family is important.
Yeah. Who supported you?
Mainly my parents, my mom and sister. Mainly my mom, she always used to give me books as well to read on business when I was younger. And also, so how I started, when I left school, I had a cell phone. That was in 2010. And at my house, we had a desktop and a printer. So it was simple for me, because that's actually what I needed. And then my aunt had a van that she used to park at our house, so she didn't have space. So I already had a license when I left matric, and I borrowed her van to start going to the schools. So I used to use it until her petrol was empty, and then until she uses it again, then it gets more petrol. And then switch around and ask my sister if I can use a car, because she was working. And then, so that's what I used to do, drop my sister at work and then use a car to get to schools. And so I used all the resources that I had that were around me. And then I slowly built up, and then eventually we have an office now. So with funding, it hasn't, for me, that's the funding that I used to start up. It was resources that I had around me. But in some cases, when you want to do grow your business, you can, because you've got a record with the bank or with every institution, they always look at giving you facilities or funding or expanding. So, but I have tried to apply for funding with CIFA. I forget what they're called, Small Enterprise Fund.
And yeah.
And everything was approved, and that my funding was approved. I even paid the initiation fee. And then nothing ever happened. I ended up asking for a refund to refund my initiation fee. Like after 6 months, nothing ever happened.
Okay,
so that's a problem.
No.
And everything was approved.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, wait. How much did you apply for?
It was just $265,000.
When was that?
Last year.
I think get us that information. Let's get the CEO for CIFA.
Yeah. I've got screenshots of the messages. I always use.
Yeah. No. I think let's bring it to us. Let's follow it up. People need to account. We'll get the CEO for CIFA to respond to say, I mean, how is it that you've got the letter of approval, right?
Yeah. I'll check. all the contracts that you signed. I had to sign.
You even signed contract. So get us that information to us, and let's try to chase it down, because we don't understand as to why you didn't get the money. You know, you need to get the money, and
That's true.
Lauren, there's a lot of opportunities out there as a young woman in business. You need to try and apply, and be sending through those applications to get funding. I know that we bring them here and we ask them and they say their account. That's why I apply and I get funding. Have you gotten something?
Excuse me?
Have you gotten something?
Funding? No, I haven't applied for funding. I've got proper cash in my bank account. What you talking about? I'm kidding. I'm about to, actually. I'll tell you.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, these are opportunities that are out there for small business. We need to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
The problem that I have a lot with small business, small businesses sit on the sidelines and they complain that the government or there's no doing opportunities. And people don't apply. People don't follow up. You know, and everyone else. Then they start painting agencies and whatever with a bad brush.
Yeah, you know. Sure. But I've never seen an agency. I've never seen a good story from. I hardly seen good stories from those agencies.
Really?
Government agencies. I mean, my bank helps me more. I've managed to get finance from West Bank for my vehicles. I've managed to get Standard Bank facilities. And I open close them as and when I need. But with those enterprises, you can't even get in.
But then it's a problem. Let's bring in agencies.
No, man, it's really discouraging.
Let's bring in agencies.
I'm saying that's
The bank,
commercial bank will give you, but who's supposed to be helping you doesn't.
Yeah. The beauty about this show is that we hold people accountable. People cannot just be throwing things out there and they are not. You know, that's why as well, some of them, we try them ourselves to say, does this work? Do they actually come back to you? Do they do this and that? So that if ever there's not, then heads needs to roll. Lauren, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I wanted to say the same thing actually applies on the accreditation in terms of the beauty. If you look at the CETAs, whereby you approach them, there will be a lot of things that is just not in place in terms of them approving you and all that. Okay, let me just say it. Looking at my own experience, I tried registering yourself with some of the CETAs, but you find that it becomes so difficult, they'll complicate the whole situation, like he said, that the people that you expect to actually help you, looking at what you are doing and with some of the things that you have done, people have actually have to buy what you have been doing. But you find that to get more of the help from some of the government institutions whereby you need to be to get your papers right in terms of accreditation. If you look in the beauty industry, a lot of people now, what they actually do is they do train a skill, because when it's beauty, you're looking at a skill. But now looking at them, most of them being accredited, they end up being accredited like with international organizations in beauty and all that, instead of them being accredited here with the services CETA under the beauty. It would just be a long procedure. So you find that most of the people, even the ones that are actually training now, you find that they won't be actually accredited. They actually give you a certificate to say you have attended this course with me. And those people, some of them, they're actually working and feeding their families, of which we need to align. So, but I'm so glad, because of recent, I was speaking to one of the schools in beauty school in Pretoria. She was actually telling me that the government have already rectified some of the things that were happening in the CETA's offices, so that people can get their accreditations and all that easier than the way it was before.
Yeah, it was actually my next question to you. I understand you have an international accreditation.
Yes.
As well. Can you tell us more about that accreditation and what value did it bring into your business after you've acquired it?
Thank you. The value that I have brought into my...
Tell us about that accreditation first.
Okay. My accreditation is with VTCT, that if any student goes on VTCT, you just post VTCT on Google, it comes out. You find that under the training providers, there is Laureate Lee Beauty Training as one of the schools in South Africa that has been accredited. Now, with the accreditation, what VTCT does is it's a recognized and accredited certificate in the beauty board from the UK to other countries around the world. That if every student that does the same certificate can actually work in more than 40 countries and be recognized that they actually did a standard training. Ben, what it did, actually what is amazing now is that VTCT tried to come into South Africa, looking at South Africa being a best country in terms of developing and skills, let me say, put it that way. So that same VTCT acquired iTech, the one that have been issuing certificates here in South Africa, that is registered with SAQA. So you find out that what Joy has brought this accreditation to my business is that now if I train students, they are actually have value within their paper, from the paper to being competent with their practicals. So you find that even now when you are doing the enrollments, most people, they are more eager to know at the end of the course, what exactly do I receive from the college? Then we explain to them the certificate, how it helps them. Even some of them now, they've already started applying in crews, like mm-hmm. to work outside. I have students at present from Dubai. Recently, some from Angola, they just left, you know. So it makes people to actually know that what we are doing, it has value at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So I'm so much appreciative with regards with the certificate and the qualification, because it makes all our students to be recognized in more countries.
Yeah, and I see as well you were awarded, I mean, you won the Township Entrepreneurship Alliance pitching competition.
Wow.
On the 25th of November.
Yes.
I mean, I want you to give us that pitch. Let's hear what got you to win. You know, let's hear what got you to win.
It was not easy on that day because
there were 16 people.
Is it?
16.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The judges were like, they were not even smiling on that day. So
why wasn't I there to judge, bro? Why wasn't I there?
You were in New York.
Oh, I was in New York. Oh, okay. So I wasn't there, so I didn't hear it. So give us the pitch.
Yeah. It's not easy. it was a 1 minute. Was it a 1 minute, Bulelani?
I think it was 1 minute.
So you want me to calculate for you to check the time? The 1 minute to time you.
Do I have to repeat it?
Yeah, no, we want it. We want it. Or if it's modernized, give it to us then.
Okay. The way I did the pitch, I think I still remember. It's when this was. My name is Lorraine Marira, and I'm the CEO of Laureate Lee Beauty Training. What we do at Laureate Lee Beauty Training, we empower ladies, especially young ladies from the age of 18 years to around 45. And also we make sure that at the end of the day, they become entrepreneurships where they have their own businesses that they'll be running. And also the other thing that we do is we also do skills empowerment programs, where we do programs for free to less privileged individuals. And we have done one in Alexandra, of which a lot of students are actually working for themselves and providing for their families. We also do at a course as a school, and our costs are always reasonable, and we always come to terms in terms of payment, and it makes people to actually come to us because we accommodate everyone. Thank you.
Wow, no, you actually left with 9 seconds.
I was, well, at least I was still going to be number one.
Yeah, you know, you were still going to be number one. You know? No, definitely. Kheti, as we're about to close, my man, I mean, being famous is the entrepreneurial space. I mean, has that affected your work? Because right now, I mean, a little baby was telling us that you were nominated for the UK Business Incubation. Tell us a bit about that.
So I was part of a MEDO program in 2013, and that it was an incubation. So basically, you go through a 6 weeks program, and then one of the weeks it's in the UK. So you have to, before you get to the 6 week program, you do a 2 week program first in Cape Town. So the whole program in Cape Town is that you learn to be away from your business. So they take you out. So it's everyone from Joburg or from Durban that goes to that first session. That's 2 weeks in Cape Town. And then you learn how to be away from your business and let it operate while you're not there. And then so we had to pitch our idea. So they helped us go through a presentation. How do you make it very, very good and very easy to read. And I think it was it ended up 3 slides and 5-slide presentation. And you go through PR, marketing, tax, you know, someone comes and speaks to you about all those things. And then you have to make appointments. So to get into the UK the UK program, is that you have to set appointments in the UK. That means you have to arrange business meetings for you to go at least 3 or 5, I can't remember properly, of your own. And then that's what gets you to go to the UK. And then you go there and pitch and also meet other entrepreneurs and see what other institutions are supporting entrepreneurs and how other small businesses are doing there. So it was quite a learning experience, seeing how business is done in the UK and also presenting my business in the UK. So where we have a communication network with other agencies in the UK that are in the same space with us.
Well, no, definitely. No, it's exciting. So there's a chance that there's somebody that is listening that wants to do work with you or partner with you or whatever in any kind. Where can they get hold of you?
Schoolmedia.co.za.
Schoolmedia.co.za. Okay. Lorraine, for people that want to partner with you, where can they get hold of more information?
They can send an email on lorraine.m@laureatelybeautytraining.co.za.
Can you call that and repeat that again?
You send an email through direct to me, lorraine.m at laureatelybeautytraining.co.za.
No, definitely. Budelani, do you have anything as we close?
No, man. As per usual, every day, all day long, get things done.
No, definitely. This is all that we had for you today. Thank you, definitely, Lorraine and Katie for joining us in studio, definitely. And good luck in terms of your future endeavors that you're doing out there. But if ever you've just tuned in, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com to actually go to podcast to catch the show that you've missed. Whether it could be this show or any other previous show that you've missed, or you can even download the Cliff Central app on your app line or at your app store, iTunes, and any other platform, you could be able to download the Cliff Central app. You're able to follow us on social media as well to actually see some of the pictures and some of the videos that we have. You can go to www.ridevectv.com as well to get to see what is it that we do in studio. This is all that we had for you today. Catch us again next time right here on Cliff Central for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debo Mafodi and Bulelani Balabala. We out.
CliffCentral.com.